I'm Afshin Ratansian. Welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. Amidst imminent NATO defeat in Ukraine, the continuing UK-US-EU armed invasion of Lebanon, bombing of Syria, Iraq and Yemen, and the annihilation of Gaza, powerless for now, we're drip-fed leaks about who will serve in a Trump administration that promised to end the USA's forever wars. Crucial to Trump's victory were not only the American working classes of all colours who serve in US wars of aggression, but Arab Americans who saw Holocaust Harris for what she was. Joining me now from Washington, D.C. is President Trump's former deputy assistant when he was last in the White House. Dr. Sebastian Gorka is now host of the Gorka Reality Check and the podcast America First. Dr. Gorka, you know, we asked RFK Jr.'s ex-chief of staff Dennis Kucinich and Elon Musk's Twitter files collaborator, author Matt Taibbi, so we're going to have to ask you, before we talk about the issues, have you had the call from the Trump administration? Have you had the phone call yet? I mean, you were the deputy assistant last time.
I've had several phone calls, but I'm not going to talk about them because it would be inappropriate.
Obviously.
But I saw I was with the president on election day, so that's public. You can read my article at my Substack, see the photographs, and we're still living the dream in the last week and a half.
Okay, well, let's go to this Russian derangement syndrome that plagued the first term, all the lies that was spread, the Russia hoax and so on. What about these new appointees that so far have been announced who seem to swallow a lot of the Russia hoax elements? Not all of them, notably not the new pick for CIA, who clearly illuminated the fact they were hoaxes in the first place, but some of them less so. Is there going to be a debate there? Can they all be trusted? Or is the deep state lurking in already the appointments that have been announced or nominations that have been announced?
Well, I don't know who you're talking about.
Well,
who is promoting the Russia hoax?
Well, certainly Pete Hegseth was talking about.
No. Are you kidding me? No. And Pete Hegseth has been chosen for one very simple reason. He's a combat veteran, two Bronze Stars, who is absolutely horrified. Just read his last book. Totally beside himself with the wokeification of the American military, the fact that the greatest armed forces in the world haven't won a war since 1991. So he's coming in to excise, not with a scalpel, but with a machete, the woke left-wing anti-American lunacy of DEI, critical race theory from inside the military, and get us back to where we were, a nation that is the most powerful in the world and that believes in itself. And look, there's one metric. I'm not interested in what somebody said years ago. Remember, the vice president-elect, J.D. Vance, was no fan of my former boss, President Trump. Quite the contrary. However, he has admitted and he has apologized that he was brainwashed, indoctrinated by the propaganda of the mainstream media, and has proven himself in the last 2 years as one of the most America First MAGA senators in the upper house. So, yeah, no, the issue is the old sheriff is back in town and the establishment are wetting themselves, to say the least.
So people are mistaken to take the words of these appointees from before about Trump, about...
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Did you listen to what I said? I said, even if they said something that was reflexive of the mainstream conventional wisdom, you know, just like J.D. Vance, they said, that's garbage, that's wrong, that's rubbish, and we're here to save America. So, no, look, here's the one thing you need to know. Every single one of these picks is completely and utterly detested by the establishment. That's all the metric you need to know. It's like Churchill said, if you've made enemies, that's good because it means you stand for something. When every establishment rag, and when the Democrats themselves say, oh my gosh, Pete Hegseth, no! Or Tom Homan, no! It means that's the right man for the choice, for the job.
Very difficult to argue against that, I have to say. There was no...
It's a wonderful
metric. Where are all the lies?
If the establishment hates you... Look, when I was in the White House, I used to say to people, because I had a very strange reputation. I was a pariah, because I said, I'm not talking to the establishment media on record, on background, off the record. I'm not talking to any one of those scumbags because they hate President Trump and they hate me and they hate the 64 million Americans that voted for him back in 2016. So, you know, when I said to people, if the Washington Post or CNN ever writes anything nice about Sebastian Gorka, every America First voter should ask for their money back. That's the metric.
If CNN is still going by the time this interview goes out, where are the lies coming from? This Putin-Trump phone call that never happened, that Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo were going to be appointed, causing Donald Trump having to go out there on Truth Social, his network, and say, look, they're not being appointed. I mean, where is all this fake news emanating from? And are they having a hard time being able to control it?
I think you know where it's coming from. It's coming from the death rattle, the dying vestiges of a completely eviscerated and trounced establishment. Can we be clear what happened just a few days ago in America? We have this genius system set up by those geniuses, the founding fathers, to ensure that metropolis, that the massive conurbations do not ride roughshod over the will of rural Americans. So we have this electoral college system that beautifully balances the interests of the metropole and the agrarian. And President Trump didn't just win the electoral college in a trouncing. He won the popular vote. I mean, corrupt states like California and Arizona are still counting, but already President Trump has exceeded the 73 million he garnered in 2020 when he received the most votes of any incumbent president. So, I mean, that's the reality. The stories of Pompeo this or Haley that or, you know, calls to the Kremlin, they're coming from the death rattle of the Beltway bandits, the incestuous, febrile, stinking, noisome swamp that is Washington, D.C., that knows President Trump has got 4 years, he's got the House, he's got the Senate, nobody controls him, and he doesn't have to compromise with any of these scumbags. They are running for the hills because they know that the sinecure is over. They know that the feeding at the trough of the American taxpayer is done.
Trump himself has talked about the number of appointments that a new president has to make. How sure will he have to be then that some of the people at the relatively senior level are not still part of the scumbags, as you call them? Because last time round, we know all about the people who were inside, when you were deputy assistant even, who were briefing against the administration that was paying their wages.
Well, not just briefing, actively working against the president and being seditious and treasonous. I mean, think about it. I've just written a piece for my Substack. I think it'll be published in the Daily Express as well in the UK. We had people like the most senior military officer of the United States, General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, having unauthorized phone calls with his counterpart in Beijing, in communist China, General Li, and saying, hey, don't worry about that Trump guy. If he plans a move against China, I'll give you a heads up. I mean, that qualifies for a court martial and a firing squad. We had people inside the building, like, sadly, and I say this as somebody who loves the Marine Corps. I spent a fair chunk of my career at Quantico teaching the Marines. But you have absolute seditious, I'll control my language, individuals like John Kelly, a former four-star general, who's getting in fisticuffs with the president's friends like Corey Lewandowski and saying in the corridor outside the Oval Office, you don't effing come in this effing building without my effing permission. Nobody elected John Kelly. And he actually told people to slow roll the president's programs and his projects and his orders. So this has been the number one concern for me in the run-up to the election. But you look at the last 10 days, and yeah, I think we're getting things right here. And we know if the swamp hates you, you're at the top of the list for appointments and for the other 4,000 presidential appointees in the so-called plum book.
Clearly, they haven't gone away. As you say, that's the death rattle. How important will it be for a Trump Department of Justice then to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again? I mean, I don't know whether you were being humorous about the firing squad, but I mean, you never want that to happen again. The American people presumably never want a chief of staff of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to be briefing against the Commander-in-Chief again.
Yeah, but again, it's not briefing. It's actually working with our enemies, like Beijing, the communist dictatorship that is China. So let's be clear here. This isn't about just President Trump or one four-year mandate or one election or one political party. One of the greatest things we have to do, and it's going to be a Sisyphean task, it's going to be truly, you know, the Augean stables, is to clean out the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the CIA, because it's not just what they did to President Trump. You know, the armed agents of the FBI raiding his private residence. That's horrific. I mean, he's the leader of the opposition. That's fine in Venezuela or North Korea, but it's not fine in America. But it's about the average American. When President Trump said, I will be your retribution, but it's not about me, it's about you, because I just get in the way. It's about the beautiful black mother who has a two-year-old daughter. And I had her husband on my show, my national radio show recently, who recently had to report to a federal prison to serve a 35-month sentence because she stood outside of an abortion clinic in New York. I mean, Beverly Williams is as much a political target of the deep state as President Trump was. Or the 73-year-old grandmother who on January the 6th didn't hurt anybody, didn't break in anywhere, didn't steal anything, but walked through an open door into the People's House, into Congress, stayed there for 6 minutes and said a prayer for the Republic and then left the building. That woman is in prison right now because she prayed inside the Capitol, inside Congress. So one of the toughest jobs is going to be reforming the Department of Justice and ensuring that all Americans, not just those who worked for the president like me or who are in the White House for the next 4 years, that every American believes that the blindfold has been put back on the eyes of Lady Justice and that we are equal before the law and there is no preferential treatment if you're a Clinton, if you're a Biden, and there is no political targeting if you're President Trump, if you're Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, or anyone who voted for him.
Well, away from the culture war example you gave, the bigger victims, arguably, were the hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians. How serious is he about the Trump administration, about ending that proxy war? Because some of the people he's appointed believed the cause was just. I believe you have said that you supported Zelensky, whereas on the other hand, you know, Tucker Carlson famously has explained that actually the proxy war, this was a proxy war on Russia. You don't agree with that. What is going to happen as regards a negotiated settlement? And would you agree, though, that hundreds of thousands were of Ukrainians have been sacrificed on an altar of Joe Biden and Antony Blinken's hubris?
Look, I don't understand the connection between politically targeted victims here in America and the Ukrainians who have bled and died for their independence. I don't get that connection. But how will it end? And what is President Trump's motivation? Look, he's been explicit about this, and I'm not revealing anything on the, 260 rallies he's held in the last 2 years. President Trump's number one priority externally after securing the border and bringing peace back to the Middle East is to stop the bloodshed in Europe. I mean, it's absolutely horrific that we have main battle tanks engaged in warfare on the Eurasian continent. That's like a horror story from 1941. But it's happening right now. He wants, number one, the bloodshed to end. That is his number one priority when it comes to the Eurasian theater. And he will get that done probably before the inauguration on January the 20th. Why? Again, I'm not really revealing anything. He said this, and everyone should read his book, The Art of the Deal. He will tell Volodymyr Zelensky that, I know it's tough, I know you've lost territory, but you must negotiate now. It is not an option. You must negotiate because the bloodshed has to stop. Likewise, behind closed doors, on the hotline from the White House or from Mar-a-Lago, from his skiff, the president will tell that KGB thug in the Kremlin, Putin, you're going to negotiate as well. And if you don't, what we have provided to Kiev in the last few years will seem like a picnic. And with those entreaties and those threats, those two men will sit down and there will be some kind of arrangement because the blood shed has to stop.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka, I'll stop you there. More from President Trump's former deputy assistant after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the former deputy assistant to President Trump and current host of the America First podcast, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Dr. Gorka, at the end of part one, you were talking about Putin as a thug. Much of the world doesn't seem to agree with that, what with BRICS and so forth. But illuminating in that a lot of these appointments that have been made are no fans of Putin, Pete Hegseth running the Pentagon. I mean, he's no fan of Putin, nor is John Ratcliffe, the CIA, even though, as a pick for the CIA, even though he exposed the Russia hoax. Why is it, do you think, the neoliberal establishment cannot seem to understand the two thoughts in the head at the same time, that you hate Putin and you hate Russia, but you support a peace negotiation in after the carnage in Ukraine, in Western Europe?
Well, I mean, that would be a multi-hour discussion. There are so many reasons. Number one, there's the Beltway bandits and the military-industrial complex, which Eisenhower, in his departing speech in the original draft, it's fascinating, actually called the military-industrial congressional complex. And at the last minute, he crossed out the word congressional. Maybe even the great General Eisenhower didn't have the fortitude to tell the truth. It's big business, number one. Number two, it's just stupid. I mean, the quote-unquote experts in D.C. are real cretinous individuals. I mean, you look at the current national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, that pencil-necked nerd. I wouldn't allow him to make me a cup of coffee. So there's this inbreeding, this incestuous group of people who have never, you know, cut wood before, never got their hands dirty, don't know what the real world is like, think that, you know, a soy latte is with foie gras is the epitome of civilization. They're morons. They really are morons. I know them well. I cut my teeth at the Rand Corporation almost 30 years ago. I went to Harvard, detested it, left after a year. So these people are, they have all the credentials, but they're really clinical imbeciles. And then lastly, there's the dark aspect, the money. I mean, Ukraine is just a hotbed of corruption. And I don't say this is inimical to that people. I lived in that region for 15 years. My parents escaped communist Hungary. Any post-communist nation is endemically corrupt. Whoever's running it, it is the nature of 40 years of communism that you can't just delete corruption as soon as you have your first election. And as such, the Hunter Biden Burisma connection, the fact that Joe Biden was the point person for Ukraine for the Obama administration, it's a funnel. It's a funnel for laundering money back to political interests here in the United States or to personal interests. Why does the current incumbent in the White House, why does Joe Biden have 21 shell companies? I don't know about you, I don't have any shell companies. Why does the current president have 21 shell companies? Why did one of the most corrupt oil companies in Ukraine give Hunter Biden, who has no background in Eastern Europe, no background in energy, a no-show job that got him $83,000 a month from a company that was meant to be in the gas and oil industry? The interests are multifarious, are not univalent. But the fact is, it's not about national interests for these people. For President Trump, it's about peace and the U.S. national interest.
Of course, that's a reason for optimism. But, you know, one former general said there could be a bad outcome out of this good strategy in that Donald Trump could call up Putin and say, these are the terms. And what happens if Russia disagrees? And Trump reacts badly, as he has done in the first term, and it ends up on the escalatory ladder, this attempt at trying to create peace. It didn't with North Korea, I'll give you that, but what happens if the peace process goes wrong?
Well, I'm sure that general has a nice book contract and a board membership with Raytheon or Booz Allen. I couldn't give a flying fig what he thinks, because I was actually awake for the first 4 years of the first Trump administration. I love it. I've done so many interviews, especially for foreign outlets in the last year. And you're talking to the head of the news agency for this Scandinavian nation or this NATO nation. And they say, well, what about NATO? What about stability in the world? And I have to say to them, were you in a coma when we were in the White House? Are you over the age of six? For the 4 years of the first Trump administration, there were no new wars. When Obama was the president, they took Crimea. Now, when Biden's the president, they take the rest of the Ukraine. Afghan collapses, the Taliban take over, and 1,200 men, women, and children are slaughtered because they're Jewish on October the 7th. It's so weird that everybody's worried about President Trump being in the Oval Office, despite the fact that for 4 years, the world was stable. And when he wasn't in the White House, it was a cataclysm. These people just, they don't live in the real world, or they're just propaganda shills for the globalists and the left.
In fairness, without Trump, there might not have been a retreat from Afghanistan, arguably.
There wouldn't have been an invasion. I always laugh when people say, what would your boss do about Ukraine? And I say, what do you mean? It never would have happened. I mean, can I just illustrate this with
one? Although it was Trump who sent the weapons into Ukraine.
Defensive weapons. Yeah, exactly. But let me.
They weren't seen, arguably, as defensive from the United States after the Newland coup of Obama. I know you reject that.
Let me give you an example of what President Trump did and the reaction of bad people like Vladimir Putin. Everybody's such a big expert on the Wagner Group now after that fake coup. Well, we were experts on the Wagner Group when we were in the White House, and this is now declassified, so I'm free to discuss it. When we informed the president that there are 300 Russian mercenaries working for Vladimir Putin, running around the Middle East, destabilizing the Middle East and endangering our troops, you know what my former boss did? He told the Secretary of Defense, kill them all and kill them now. 4 hours later, in the Battle of Kasham, 300 Russians had been turned into red mist. Now, this is important because no president, not even the great Ronald Reagan, has killed hundreds of Russian troops in one day. No one, not since the 1917 October Revolution. Interestingly, what was Vladimir Putin's response? He defecated himself. Why? He didn't even hold a press conference to complain that 300 Russians had been droned and shot in the head by US forces. That's why we had a stable world for 4 years.
Of course, Prigozhin isn't here to deny that story. And clearly the reason there was no press conference, the Russians would say, is it didn't happen. And if anything,
right,
it helped pave the way after the failure of the Minsk Accords to make Russia realize it should act on Luhansk. You mentioned October the 7th. You know that Arab Americans in Michigan swung it for you and they didn't vote for Israel. All these different appointees seem even the supporters of Trump would say, more make Israel great again than make America great again. Do you think when Trump said finish the job to Netanyahu, he meant exterminate them all under the Biden administration exterminate all the Palestinians ahead of a inauguration so that he can start sorting out peace in the Middle East?
Sorry, are you seriously saying that members of the administration love Israel more than America and that President Trump wants a genocide? Did I just hear you correctly?
Just a question.
Well, it's obscene, and if you want to continue in that vein, I will.
What did he mean by finish the job?
I will end this interview now.
No,
did you really impute genocidal tendencies to the man chosen by 74 million Americans?
We call him Genocide Joe and Holocaust Harris. That's how we refer to
Are you talking about Biden or President Trump?
Well, no, I want to ask, well, what did he mean when he... I mean, tell me about the relationship between Netanyahu and Donald Trump, because some say they don't get on.
All right, I'll do it with one proviso. I don't know who you are, and you're walking on very thin ice. So if you do one more thing of that ilk, this interview is terminated and your production team can delete my cell phone and my email. So to answer your question, the president's most important speech was the speech he made in Warsaw in the summer of 2017, in which he said, the only question our civilization faces, Judeo-Christian civilization, is if we have the wherewithal and the will to fight and destroy those who would destroy our civilization. It's the most important sentence the president has ever said, but it's not about politics or elections. It's about the survival of the greatest civilization the world has ever seen, which is our civilization. And President Trump stands shoulder to shoulder with Bibi Netanyahu and our brethren, our brothers, our friends in Israel, whose job it is right now to destroy every stinking jihadi. I've seen the video, the unedited 47-minute video of what they did to those men, women, and children, unarmed children, unarmed women. I've seen it.
Yeah, no, when I'm talking about the genocide in Gaza.
What genocide?
You don't believe there has been a genocide in Gaza?
No. No, I do not. You know what? It's really weird. I don't believe the Hamas Department of Health statistics.
It's not just but it's not just them.
Call me crazy.
This is the United Arab Emirates newspaper. Riyadh calls this is the Saudi Arabian government calling Israel's war on Gaza genocide. That's Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a good friend of Donald Trump.
There is no genocide in Gaza. What there is Hamas using civilians as shields. If there is a problem that you have with civilians being hurt, take it up with Hamas that actually locates their materiel, their command structures, their bunkers, their armories amongst civilians.
It's difficult to take it up with Hamas because their leaders and negotiators keep getting killed. But how will Donald Trump navigate that with Saudi Arabia calling Israel's war on Gaza genocide, the Saudi crown prince calling it genocide, and yet the team that he's assembled clearly don't agree with Saudi Arabia, and I think his intention was to bring Saudi Arabia into the Abraham Accords.
There's no need to respond to those kind of statements. The only thing we have to respond to is, does Saudi Arabia, do the UAE, do Israel, and all of the nations that were part and parcel of the historic Abraham Accords wish to have them put in place again? It's very clear that President Trump can bring peace back to the Middle East. And the way he did it was to ignore the Hamas, Hezbollah, Palestinian Authority, who are teaching their children that every Jew has to die. President Trump ignored them. Jared ignored them. And that's how we got the historic...
But so what you seem to be saying, Dr. Gawker, is definitely that for those that support the Palestinians, most of the world, they're all going to die. I mean, you calling them human shields, they're calling them women and children... You believe the human shields the human shields are going to die, right? If they're using human shields and they happen to be millions of...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm going to give... This is your final warning. The human shield choice is the choice of Hamas and Hezbollah.
No, but you're saying the human shield... They're using human shields. So you're saying they should all die.
Okay, We're done. Okay? We're done. Thank you very much.
Why can't you talk about genocide in Gaza? And is that the same with all of the Trump?
Because there isn't any genocide in Gaza. There is no such thing as Palestine. Do you know what the etymology of the word Palestinian is? It was a name invented by the Roman Empire.
Yeah, the problem is, it's an impartial interlocutor.
Let me finish the point.
The rest of the world disagrees with you. So you're going to be
I'm glad you talk for the rest of the world. You mentioned the word hubris.
The United Nations General Assembly resolution.
My God! Oh, the United Nations that sends people in blue helmets to rape little girls in Africa. Why did I not listen to the United Nations? What a clown show, really? As far as I'm concerned, the United Nations could be pushed into the Hudson, okay? What have they done to solve anything of late except create child prostitution rackets in Africa?
Just finally, what do you think of the UN pick? What do you think of the US?
You really represent the world. The world has this opinion. Who are you to say you represent?
We'll have to get you on again to talk more about the cabinet position.
Who are you? Really? Unbelievable.
Dr. Sebastian Gawker, thank you.
Goodbye.
That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those surviving the UK-US-EU armed genocide in this region. We'll be back with more Trump victory coverage on Monday with renowned third-wave feminist and Clinton Gore presidential campaign's political advisor, Dr. Naomi Wolf. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media. If it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.